I know that none of you might particularly feel like ever being in the pulpit at this moment, but actually you should be, because you hear the singing at its very best, and you're in great voice this morning. Our congregation here continues to be blessed by the Blink / BMT WhatsApp group. It has regular devotional posts, prayer requests, information, and of course there'll be the odd cartoon to make us smile or even laugh out loud. By the way, anyone who'd like to get on that group, speak to me afterwards. But there's also the occasional post that makes us sit up and take notice. In early February, Jill Nichols made just such a post, which I share with her permission. Thanks, Jill. Here it is. "Such a joy worshipping in church this morning after 3 weeks in the Far East. Being in a communist country for 10 days and then in a predominantly Buddhist country makes you so aware of just how fortunate we are, how deep the Father's love for us. Indeed." And to that, some responded positively. For example, "We're blessed to be able to worship God freely," or an appreciation of those taking our services week by week. But there weren't a huge number responding. But it stuck with me throughout the week, until sitting in my usual spot the following Sunday, I felt the Lord prompting me to speak on the blessings of worship. Now, some of us may have young people in our families who say something like, "Worship? Why bother?" Or we may be away on holiday and we say, "Sunday worship? Why bother? Nobody will know if we miss." As if it's an attendance thing and the minister or an elder marks us present or absent. Why bother? The answer is both simple and profound. Jesus bothered. Jesus bothered all the time. For example, the end of Luke 2 is all about his going to worship, and it's the only glimpse we have into his boyhood and family life. You know the story, the family are going to Jerusalem for the feast of Passover. You remember he gets left behind, and when they eventually find him, he's in the temple, listening to the rabbis, asking questions, showing a spiritual awareness that amazes them, making the most of the opportunity to develop on the human level his relationship with God the Father. And then in Luke 4, the passage that Angie read for us, it comes after Jesus' time in the wilderness. He comes back to Nazareth and he goes to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and we're told that is his custom. You can imagine the buzz when Jesus comes in. He's the local boy made good. They're talking about what they're saying down in Capernaum about him, almost unbelievable. Will he preach this morning? And sure enough, the attendant hands him the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. I imagine it was in a number of scrolls, so long as the book. It's the passage about the year of the Lord's favor, and Jesus starts to read, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me. He has anointed me to preach good news of freedom, good news of healing, good news of God." They listen, but they don't hear. They know it by heart, so they switch off. What are the blessings of worship? Let me suggest three for us this morning. Firstly, it gives us perspective. Worship puts God back into life. into his rightful place in life. When you've had a busy week in school or college, in work or on the farm, in the house, running after the family, doing the shopping, all the everyday, the mundane, you can feel worn down and a bit battered. Our world is stressed and strained. It's broken. It feels sometimes as if it's out of control. And even if you're accustomed to reading the Bible and praying at home, we can all so easily forget who God is. We can forget that he's the creator, that he's the sustainer, that in Jesus Christ alone is our redemption, and that only the Holy Spirit can work in us to make us more like Jesus. Worship strengthens the vertical connection, reminding us who's in control. That's why I always like to have a big hymn or a psalm at the beginning of a service, one that declares who God is, that reminds us what God has done. The call to worship that starts a service is a call to pay attention, to focus our hearts and minds on what we're doing, and having it as a responsive reading, as we did this morning, maybe helps us to be involved more readily. Worship gives us perspective. Secondly, worship reminds us of God's purposes. Worship reminds us of what God is all about. It widens our horizons to see people as God sees them. I jump to the end of the passage that we read this morning. It shows how the people of Nazareth reacted at the end of his synagogue sermon. For the people of Nazareth read their scriptures as a promise of God's covenant, God's exclusive covenant with them. For Isaiah 61, the passage that's quoted there in verses 18 and 19, speaks both of freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners. This freedom was from the captivity of sin and evil. This release was from spiritual darkness. This liberation was for all the poor and oppressed, irrespective of nationality, race, or gender. Jesus makes this radical inclusiveness strikingly clear with biblical examples from the lives of Elijah and Elisha. Through them, the grace of God was extended beyond Israel to two Gentiles, one a woman in Zarephath and Zidon, and the other a man, Naaman, a Syrian. You see, the Jewish people were apt to interpret the year of God's favor as God's favor of them, and to them as favoritism, and concluded that God was primarily interested in them, and they saw a barrier between my sort of people and the others. So the people of Nazareth didn't react at all well to the implications of what Jesus was saying, so they drove him out of town and would have done away with him, save that his time had not yet come. So what are God's purposes? In Genesis 12, verses 2 and 3, I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. Whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples and earth will be blessed through you. On Wednesday nights, we've been thinking about the covenant of God. The covenant to Abram was to be a blessing to all peoples on earth. And then in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you can barely read it on the screen. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Looking outward in ever-expanding circles. That's why we have page 3 in our bulletin week by week, with mission-focused topics looking beyond our congregation. And so I want to encourage you to come this evening to the Mission in Ireland evening in Terrace Row at 7 o'clock. It will give you a flavour of what God is doing in different parts of Ireland. In Home Mission, the Reverend Alistair Dunlop will speak about God's mission in North County Dublin in Home Mission congregations. And the Reverend Graham Stockdale will speak about God at work in our local prisons. If you want more details on the theme, page 7 of the Presbyterian Herald will talk about that. God at work beyond just our congregation. Most of us, myself included, usually spend Sunday evenings at home around the fire. So instead of watching Country File and the Antiques Roadshow, come along tonight at 7 to Terrace Row. Let's find out more about what God is doing in this land and how he's using some PCI personnel to do some of it. God's purpose is that we might be an outward-facing congregation rather than inward-focused, and worship helps us to do that. Thirdly, worship enables us to hear the proclamation. The proclamation of the good news. That's what Jesus did in the synagogue in Nazareth. The Spirit of the Lord is on me. He has anointed me to preach good news of freedom, good news of healing, good news of God. They listen, but they don't hear. They know it by heart, so they switch off. This scripture has just come true, he says. The Spirit of the Lord is on me. I'm the one bringing the good news. Good news day is here. Good news day is now. They still don't hear. The mood begins to change. Who does he think he is? Sure, we knew his father. Jesus' proclamation of the good news of his coming wasn't heard in his hometown. He would walk out of their lives and never go back. One of the blessings of worship is that we hear the good news proclaimed. We need to hear it, first of all for ourselves, that God has come amongst us in Jesus, and that though we fall short of God's standards and fall into sin, yet in Jesus God takes upon himself the punishment for our sin, so that we are counted righteous with him. This is amazing grace. No matter how often you've heard it before, we need to hear it again. No matter how often we might have responded in faith, we need to receive the grace of God again and again and praise God for it. That's the only basis of living for the Lord. We need to hear it for ourselves, but not only for ourselves, but that we might share it with others. One of the blessings is that we hear the proclamation. Here are but 3 blessings of worship, and I don't forget the community aspects of worship, which are many, but they're for another day. Final word. Remember those people in the Nazareth synagogue, listening but not really hearing. Jesus speaks here through his word in the power of the Spirit. And we can be just like them, enjoying being with others in worship, listening but not really hearing, not until it rubs against our self-interest, our community boundary. Let's really hear the good news. Shall we pray together? Thank you, O God, for the good news that Jesus brings. Help us to really hear and to respond in faith and trust with open hands and open ears and open hearts. Help us in the power of your Spirit so to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.